Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson. As always, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're coming to you from Dallas, Texas, here at Herb's house. And we've got a great study, Kent,
as always. I need it.
Man, I need it as well. And we are in Genesis 22, verse 1.
Okay.
And this extraordinary account of God telling Abraham to offer his son, his only son, Isaac, on the altar. And I want to begin by reading this. The title of this, Kent, is Tested by God. And it really speaks to the fact that there are times when God intentionally, purposely tests our faith. Yeah. And that's what's going on here. So, Genesis 22, verse 1. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. So, Ken, as I've already said, God reserves the right to step into our lives and disrupt our lives with a test. And the purpose of a test is to see if we're actually learning the truth. And you and I, when we were in school, when we were in college, in high school, junior high school, there were times when I would walk into a classroom and unannounced, unexpected, the professor would say, take out a piece of paper, number 1 to 5, and there is a pop quiz.
Okay.
And I remember one time in seminary walking into a Greek class, and the professor said that, and I actually got up and walked out.
Got sick real quick.
Yeah, I got sick real quick. I was not ready to take this pop quiz because the night before I really had not done my homework to learn what I needed to know. And that's what's going on here with Abraham. And God has been teaching Abraham a lot of truth. And Abraham's been walking with God. And Abraham has come to faith in Christ. He believed God, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. But there is this unfolding now walk of sanctification and growing in the grace and knowledge of the truth. And so now, all of a sudden, almost like out of right field, God steps in and applies a test. It says God tested Abraham, and it will be the most extraordinary, soul-searching test that God will give to Abraham. He will call him to take Isaac, his only son, and to offer him as a sacrifice on an altar. Kent, you just finished teaching the book of James, and in James 1 it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that your testing produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. It's the way that God gets us to the next level, advances us and matures us to the next level of spiritual growth. Is periodically there are these tests. Sometimes it's a financial test. Sometimes it's a health test. Sometimes it's a parenting test, a marital test, a business test. They come in all different shapes and forms. That's why James says various trials. And here, God really goes for the jugular vein with Abraham and will tell him, I want you to sacrifice your son on the altar. So, Kent, our Christian lives can be just cruising along.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there is this divine intervention. You walk into class, and God, in essence, says, take out a piece of paper, number 1 to 5, and let's see if you have been learning and putting into practice what I've been teaching you. So, Kent, this is really practical, maybe painfully practical. I've had them in my life, you've had them in your life, and we'll continue to have them. I don't think we ever reach an exempt status on this where we no longer should expect this.
Yeah.
And it's initiated by God. This isn't Satan. This isn't the devil. This is God. This is much like Job.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking, test, is it synonymous, test and trials? Would you say test or trials, or would you say that's synonymous or different?
I think that there is overlapping. I really do. I think with trials, sometimes we bring it on ourselves with wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But a test actually comes directly from God, without our making a bad decision. Mm-hmm. So slight difference, but I think there's much overlap as well.
So let's just kind of jump down. I dive down into this because I want to ask this question.
Yeah.
Should we, and this is a layup for you because I want to warm you up. Should we enjoy the trial? Should we be excited about the trial? Should we get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm
the Lord brings, there's a pop quiz. I'm
hoping there's a pop quiz so I can. I mean, what should our attitude be?
Well, I mean,
you don't have to think back to James.
I know, and James does say consider it all joy.
I know, but what do we? How do we approach it? Because the trials are always where it's from God. To me, it seems like where it really hits us the most. Like my trial probably wouldn't be a big trial for you.
Yeah.
And your trial may not be big for me.
Yeah.
But it's huge for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I just think we need to close in a word of prayer.
No, I know.
But
I mean, it seems that the Lord brings those trials.
Yeah, I think when he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, that we have to intentionally reckon it to be so, because it sure doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
And it's probably not our first response that, oh, be joyful, this is a test and a trial. Our first reaction is, what have I done wrong? How do I get out of this?
Walk out of class.
Yeah, what?
Thanks
for reminding me of that. And in life, we just can't walk out.
Yeah, we can't.
I mean, we're just fenced in.
Yeah.
And I think we have to have a readjustment of our thinking and our perspective and come back to the place of considering it joy as we think through what is God teaching me?
Yeah, yeah.
And what is God doing? And what he's doing is he's pulling the rug out from underneath me to drop me to my knees so I will look up to him and be more consciously dependent upon God, and as well as to help me minister to other people who are going through difficult times.
Yeah.
I mean, there are numerous lessons that the Lord's teaching us, and sometimes in the heat of the moment, we can't even process all that God may be doing, but we certainly can understand that I need to be so dependent upon God and abiding in Christ and trusting him and kind of take my hands off the steering wheel and let God govern how this is, you know, working out. So, you know, it's easier to teach on this than to live it.
Yeah.
And we know that. Yeah. So Kent.
So when God brings a trial, or we get up in the morning, or during our day, something hits us.
Yeah.
We can react negatively, or you're saying we look past that circumstance and say, "Okay, Lord, you've brought this."
Yeah.
And what am I to learn from it? It kind of try to look past. What's the old coach that used to say, it's either going to make you bitter or make you better?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that, and I think that applies to our Christian life, that our trial, our test, will either make us better or make us bitter, and it's designed by God not to make us bitter, but to make us better, to purify our faith, almost like putting a metal into a furnace to strip out the impurities and just leave behind a pure, precious metal, and so that our faith will be pure in its trust in the Lord. So, Kent, this is a great study that we've had today, And if you are in the midst of a trial, if you're being tested by God right now, just know that his tests are in his perfect timing, and he brings them about in his perfect ways, and we must respond by humbling ourselves. And that's a big pill to swallow at times, but that's what we must do, and they're intended for our good and for God's glory. And so as God tested Abraham to give up Isaac, so God may be testing you as well. Well, may the Lord bless you in your walk with the Lord today. And Ken and I need that very same blessing in our lives. So may God use this study in your life in a very profitable way. Blessings to you in Christ.